You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Screencast, Kind of Funny's only entertainment podcast, where we come together and talk about TV shows, movies, and streaming services. I'm your host, Kevin Coelho. To my immediate right, we've got one Nick, the man with the three-fingered movie review, Scarpino. To his right, my left, we've got Joey, one of the movie bros herself, Noelle. There it is.
I got a bone to pick with you here, Joe. Why? I'm sorry, Kevin. I know I'm interrupting
your intro. There's a little bit more. You can just wait 2 seconds.
Go for it.
Well, now I'm not ready. You can catch this show live every
week.
Weekly.
After games daily, it's at some point.
One of those.
Or
things.
If you don't want to figure out when it's going live, you can watch it as a video on demand on YouTube or Rooster Teeth. You could also just listen to us in audio form on your favorite podcast services. If we're not on there, let us know and we'll add it to it. You can help support us at patreon.com/kindoffunny. Like many, many of you did.
So many of you came out last month, and we appreciate it. And we just need you to do it again this month.
Please, God. His new studios are real expensive.
It's just getting expensive. Here's the bone I have to pick with Joey.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kevin,
mm-hmm.
May I
go for it. Yeah.
Now, I know I screwed you over with Lizzo. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I should have taken you to that concert. I should have taken you instead of my wife. I understand it. We would have enjoyed it on a different level together.
Or all three, because I like hanging out with you.
We could have done that as well. We could have all been the three best friends, Three's Company. But when you get the opportunity to buy me a sweatshirt that's to all the boys I've loved before, number two, and you don't do it, that hurts. That cuts the core of me, Joe.
Yeah.
Joey from Kind of Funny.
I didn't buy this. I got it sent to me.
Wow. That's even cooler.
That's even worse. Yeah. So you could literally get me one.
Are you not going to the screener tonight?
No, I'm not going to the screen tonight.
No, I know Nick doesn't do things after work.
Sure. I do things after work. I just don't do work things after work.
Yeah.
Not with us.
Yeah.
No. I have a whole other life out there.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I got it sent to me, so I can't buy you one.
It's an
exclusive influencer package that I received yesterday that you can currently see on my Instagram stories.
That's really rad.
If you clicked on it or liked the tweet that I put out, that'd be cool because they'd really
Sirens
like it.
Sirens Orion.
Then they'll know to send me more things for the third movie, and maybe I can get something for Nick then.
There's
a
third movie coming.
Oh, yeah.
I assume
There's
so.
A whole book
There's
series.
Three books. Kidding, yeah.
Also, Lana Condor is everything, so she deserves more of everything.
Will she be at the screening tonight?
No.
She was at the New York one and the LA one.
That's New York and LA, though. San Francisco is like the crazy, more successful little brother that no one wants to spend time with in those two cities.
I feel like she could be there tonight.
If she's there tonight and I'm not there tonight, I will lose my shit. But then I'll just watch the movie on Netflix when it comes to Netflix because I love that series.
That's next week.
Is it next week? Is Noah Centineo back for it?
Yes.
Excellent.
And so they also sent me a really cozy blanket, and an eye mask, and some socks, and a tote bag.
Joey, we're going to need you to keep all that stuff here.
I already took it home.
Okay.
My bad.
Now for some quick housekeeping. You can go to kindoffunny.com/store and check out a bunch of our merch. The PS I Love You sweater
is
still out?
Coming back. It is coming back. They're working on restocking it.
Okay, so you haven't gotten one.
I think it comes back next week or maybe.
Yet.
The next week.
Be on the lookout. There's also the Super Porter shirt.
Yeah, add to wish list button.
And
it'll tell
you
when it gets back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll also tells them what sizes they should order.
All right, that's a big one. Patreon producer list for this week has 19 names on it. Let's go through them. James Davis, David Mintel, Mohammed, Justin Toff, Drew Gardner.
That's Shiraz. Blackjack.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
He asked me to change it so that
he's
just
name.
Blackjack everywhere, but
okay.
I haven't had a chance to do that
sure.
yet.
Sure. Blackjack. All right. Then how would you say that? Shiraz Razak?
That is Blackjack.
Oh, that.
Just
oh,
say Blackjack.
Got it. I thought you were saying Drew Garner.
No, Drew Garner is Fruities.
Yeah, I got it. we also have Jarrett Brown, Cassandra Ramirez, Ian Jacob, Zachary Smith, Joseph Solar, Sean Fellows, Morgan Goranson, the nanobiologist, Frankfurter, Jameson Shafransky. Quaid, Burnett, and Al Tribesman. That was really cool. This show is brought to you by our sponsors, MeUndies, HelloFresh, Manscaped, but more about that later. Now let's talk about our big topic, the 92nd Oscars.
Love it.
Yeah.
Can't
exciting
wait.
Stuff.
I'm looking so forward to this. I have no idea who's hosting it. I don't even know.
I don't think they have one.
They have a bunch of hosts.
Do they just not have a host?
They didn't do one last year, right?
Well, it was supposed to be Kevin Hart last year, right?
But then he,
and then he had that
accident. He had the tweets and then all that jazz that came up.
So, yeah, last year was like when they decided like when he dropped out or like when they kicked him out or whatever that they're just going to do a bunch of like an amalgamation of hosts. And they confirmed that I think like a month ago that they're doing that again this year.
Yeah. So like there's a giant list of who is hosting it. So
yeah,
really
it's
nobody's
like,
hosting
it's
it.
It's essentially just elevated presenters.
I mean, and that like, kind of is.
I think
like,
it's for the best.
I'm of two minds on that. Well, no, I mean.
We'll see.
I like the Billy Crystal musical numbers at the beginning.
Yeah, I like the opening monologue of the Academy Awards, but I do agree that like having a host and then having people come out and just do the like present the awards seems a bit redundant and might be the thing that leads to the show being way too long, which it is every year. Every year, it's way too long. It is just like a Netflix series. Just way too many filler episodes in there. We don't need them. 2 hours, the show. 2 hours. We don't need.
I'll tell you two.
90% of the awards that people talk. We don't need it. We don't need it. Give them the technical awards.
Remember last year when they took out the cinematography award and we all were upset.
Got really mad.
That is a major component of filmmaking.
Absolutely.
And I respect. But like, there's some shit in there that I'm like, we don't need best animated short. Like that's just not something
sure.
that.
No, I
we just don't need
that.
It.
I agree with that.
Like they can give them the award, but I don't. We don't need these people. Like, that's one of those things that I'm like, kudos to you. Good for you. If you made an animated short that you got to make category for,
so
great. But that's 5 more minutes of my life that I could get back and spend listening to Roger Deakins, who is a fucking luminary and a guy that hopefully wins the cinematography award this year, talk about his storied career and talk about what it was like to work on 1917.
But I don't know that that's the right place for him to have this, like, podcasty story.
Well, he's not going to have a podcast and then they're going to play him off. But what I'm saying is, like, there is, like, to me, there's the hierarchy of people who deserve to sit on TV and think. And be presented with an award. And there's a lot of these smaller awards. There's a reason why they have the technical Oscars the night before, or like the week before, hosted by what's her butt from Interstellar. They always get her ass back to do it.
Jennifer Lawrence?
No, the girl. She played Catwoman.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Really?
You always see Anne Hathaway. You're like, good, that's where she belongs.
Oh,
at
so
the technical Oscars. At the technical Oscars.
There's Nick's having a lot of shots today.
I said it.
I don't know if I like that.
Emma Stone hosted him one time, too, I think.
Yeah, and she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. She kicked her up to the big game.
First thing I want to talk about, do you guys know what film has the most nominations?
I'm guessing 1917.
No.
I guessed The Irishman, and I was wrong. And Kevin said that I was second.
So 1917 and The Irishman both have 10 nominations.
Yeah.
There's one more. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood also has 10. So those are all tied for number two spot. The number one, Joker, with 11 nominations.
Joker was one of those movies that I sort of resisted watching for a very long time because I just couldn't wrap my brain around how they were going to tell a good story with the Joker. And when I finally sat down to watch it, I was fucking blown away.
Interesting.
I because
I watched
was
that
so
one.
Well done and so impactful.
I thought
so
there were some
levels.
Like major flaws with like some of the decisions they made, specifically like the city just immediately like turning into this mob.
Well,
it went from the story,
they're on the cusp of like fucking revolt
because
of how poorly it's been
run. I feel like it went from like, hey, these three people got murdered to like, yeah, fuck rich people. And it was like, I felt like there needed to be a little bit more to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like not having that really was a detriment to the movie where it made it suddenly a comic book.
I recently watched King of Comedy, which is like
I've not watched that.
Is it
worth it? It's
hard absolutely,
to watch the first part because it's hard to get through.
I watched it and I was like, wow, the Joker is 98% a ripoff of this movie.
Sure, but that's a Scorsese movie.
Yeah, but
you can't rip off your own material.
Well Scorsese didn't
Todd
do
Phillips.
This movie.
He produced this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This movie is an homage to like Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
And it's with the blessing of Scorsese. That's why
I feel like, what's so cool about Taxi Driver, I feel like, is like that. There's like that guy is broken in a way that like makes sense, and the way the city slowly starts to rally behind him
says he almost produced it. but he didn't actually produce.
Scorsese?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought he was on it. Was he not?
And I think Todd Phillips was just like, I love Scorsese.
Oh, I apologize. I thought Scorsese was executive producer on this.
With King of Comedy, I think is way more interesting because it's not titled, like, with the title of someone you know is going to go batshit insane by the end of it. Like, when you see, who's the guy who, fuck, I forget his name. He was in The Irishman. He was in Taxi Driver. And
yeah,
so, like,
what's
that, Robert De Niro?
De Niro. Like, you don't know how fucking crazy he's going to get at the by the end of that movie. So at the beginning, it's way more interesting to see him it being slowly revealed, like, how insane he really is and the crazy shit he does to, like, get onto the show to do his stand-up comedy and all of this stuff. And, yeah, I don't
That's the one where he has the fake set built in his house, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, fucking...
kind of imagining a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and he, like, lives with his mom. Like, there's a lot of... A lot of people are saying, like, this Joker was an homage to Taxi Driver, which I do agree with, but, like... The plot and, like, kind of the beat for beat is almost, like, 98% of just the King of Comedy. And, see, like, I think it made it a way
I feel
less
like it's,
interesting
It's very
film.
Much a mixture of both those movies.
Yeah, but, like, after watching the... what I'm trying to say is after watching that movie, it was just, like, I was even more frustrated by Joker. I was like, wow, I feel like it's even less original because of that. And I'm still, like, blown away by how many people are like, oh, shit, this is, like, the bee's knees.
To me, it's and that was the predisposition I went in thinking. I was like, okay, I'm gonna hate this because, like, I'm gonna feel it's gonna be a ripoff of these two things. But what I liked about it was that he took those themes that I think are fairly universal and brought them into the modern era and made it kind of like, to me, it was more about it focused on the disparity between the wealthy and the utter the poverty stricken. But also, I really just appreciated how he sort of painted mental health and how we saw this character who, you know, the system had all intents and purposes just couldn't help and failed. And then when the system drops out and he can't get his medication anymore, what happens? So what I really, really respected about what Todd Phillips did with this was I think he wanted to tell that story and he just – no one would let him do it because they wanted to make money off of it. And so he smartly wrapped it. Around this, he put the wrapper of the Joker around it and kind of made it a comic book movie so that people who necessarily wouldn't be open to that deep of a story kind of came in saying, okay, well, that's an entry point that I can understand, wrap my head around. And then when you see that character devolve into this psychotic state, it's all the more powerful because you're like, oh, that is how that could happen. And then, of course, we see the sort of like some of the more – I mean, to be honest, I felt that it was – I just liked how grounded it really felt. And I think at times it actually felt more grounded to me than the Nolan movies, which is saying something because he really wanted that to be like a realistic take on it, right? Or somewhat realistic.
Yeah.
There's parts where he's flying through China where you're like, no, that's not how that works. But like there's that last scene where he's standing on the car and like just this beautiful shot of the city in chaos. And it's obviously like supposed to be a little bit like hyperbolic and like and crazy surreal at that moment because you're not sure of like how much of this shit is really like – like you know
actually
the city's erupted, but you don't,
it's
kind of allegorical. But I just thought, man, what a great job they did with that. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did.
I liked certain aspects of it. I just kind of feel like it falls apart with what I was saying earlier about the city turning so quickly to be on his side, and also the whole all the stuff that happens with him and his neighbor. Where it's just like very quickly, I was like, I don't trust this situation.
Oh no, God no.
Yeah, and it just like
and we're spoiling
when
the
like.
Joker.
Well, I mean, that's but fine. I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
Yeah.
When things are revealed, it's just like,
see,
like immediately I was like, no, something's wrong here. This isn't what it seems.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. And I thought the city sort of devolving into chaos. I thought it was supported. I can understand how you wouldn't see that.
I just wish
totally
we had gotten a little bit more.
Yeah, I think he chose purposely to focus on sort of like that character and staying with that character's mental state the entire time. And like when you see how he's misjudging some of the situations, that is caused by his mental illness. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I loved how he treated it. I loved that you sympathized with this character, but then also you felt powerless to stop what was happening to him because that's how people feel when they're going through things like that. And then what I really want him to do is I said it before, but I want them to give Todd Phillips the same budget. And have him make the first movie called The Joker and the next one just called Batman. And I want to see...
Yeah, that would be cool.
I want to see him dive into the state of, like, what happens when a kid, his parents are killed in front of him and the anger and the rage. I want that one to deal with rage. Whereas this one dealt with, like helplessness and mental health and,
depression.
Like, and depression. I want him to do a movie about, like, the male rage of Batman and mm-hmm. what that does and how it's that thin line of like, are you a hero or are you a fucking psychopath who is just beating the shit out of people?
I just think that like in the train sequence where Joker ends up killing these guys,
yeah.
I wish there was then an interview that we saw with the woman that like he kind of saved.
Right.
That painted the three men that got killed in the light of like, no, they were rich assholes that were just like forcing themselves on me. Mm-hmm. And he like protected me.
You sort of got a little bit of that where the news outlets. I watched it a couple months ago, so
yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got a little bit of it with like the news outlets going like these three like upper class yuppies were killed by someone, and mm-hmm. then it was this Joker, and they became that emblem. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah. They could have added 10 or 15 more minutes into that would have supported it. But I liked. For me, it was a good amount of time that we spent in that, and I was like, I don't know if I could deal with 30 more minutes.
11 nominations.
In this.
It's
good, dude. Yeah. It's shot beautifully.
Yeah,
the acting is phenomenal. The score is haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was blown away by just the artistry that went into this movie. The costumes are fucking phenomenal. It's interesting to make a movie that simultaneously feels very, very grounded, but also has the look and feel of a comic book movie.
Yeah,
and there are moments where they just use the aspect ratio so well in this. Yeah. I keep coming back to this moment where he's in the car at the very, very end and everything's erupting in fire and all of his supporters around him. He kind of stands up and that's it. And I'm like, there's no real action in this movie, by the way. It's not an action movie. There's not really a lot that happens. It's more just a drama and like a kind of suspenseful.
It's suspense, yeah.
But how awesome would it be if he took that team, took that world and said, let's add a little bit of action to this, same violence, and put Batman in it. Fuck, that would
I think
that would
have been awesome.
I mean, the shit. Catwoman, a real-life Catwoman who's like this abused woman who's like, you know, going out there and stealing because that's all the power she had. I mean, that'd be fucking so cool to just explore that.
I agree with that. I wish that they had ended the movie with the guy that's wearing the Joker mask going around the corner, taking the mask off, and then kind of making it look a little bit more like the scene that we see. And I know that they're not necessarily connected, but just to give hints that like, oh, they may be connected, but instead he's wearing the mask, and it's clear that those
movies
are not connected.
Thematically, you get that violence begets violence, and that mental health, you know, if not treated, can be a thing that then comes down throughout the generations, right? If someone is suffering from something like that, they abuse their child, mm-hmm. then goes forward and becomes the abuser, like right. They always talk about like bullied people always bully, and that's just the way it goes. It's that kind of thing. Anyway, we've talked a lot about Joker, but that's not surprising. I think that's awesome. Uh-huh. And again, I was blown away by that movie.
I've pulled together a list of awards that I want to talk about. So let's dive into these.
Okay.
The first one I want to talk about is Best Visual Effects.
Okay.
I think this is a really interesting year for Best Visual Effects. We have Avengers Endgame.
I mean, that's going to win.
We have The Irishman, Lion King, 1917, and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. In this, two movies that I feel like stand out as like, I don't think that they have a good chance is The Irishman.
Because
so many of the effects of terrible. Like they look terrible.
The de-aging. Why The Irishman is even in contention for any Academy Awards is fucking beyond me. I don't understand it. And I know that we're just paying we're paying respect to Martin Scorsese, who is arguably one of the
Oscar,
best
you know?
Filmmakers of all time. He will go down as one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. But this is not the movie. This is not the movie.
I don't think this is the
and
movie.
And I say
either.
This all honesty. I talk a lot of shit about The Departed, mostly because it's fun now to get people riled up. It's not my favorite Scorsese film, but I will say, leaps and bounds better than The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
Leaps and bounds. The Irishman, there were so many terrible choices made in that movie that take you out of the film.
It's too long.
It's too fucking long.
And like,
they
should
have recast.
No movie should be that long.
They should have recast De Niro and all those people for younger actors.
Younger ones, yeah.
When it was supposed to be 40 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
You cannot make a 77-year-old man into a 30-year-old. That does not work that way. It's terrible. And like when he got, the fact that it got like, I think it got nominated for cinematography as well.
Yeah,
and
we'll
I'm
talk
like,
about that later.
There's just a moment in this movie where like where Robert De Niro is supposed to be kicking the shit out of someone and it plays in a wide shot. And I'm like, hey, cinematographer, no. You should not let a 70-year-old man
so
try to be.
See,
yeah, we can't. He doesn't move well.
The body motions. And then Star Wars. I think that I really enjoyed the Star Wars. I don't know that it did anything that, like, to me stood out visually
so
that
I
was crazy.
I will disagree with you on that.
Uh-huh.
So I think about Endgame, I think of Star Wars, right? And Endgame, I think, as a movie and as a total package is far and away one of the best films I've ever seen. I love it.
Yep.
It's my favorite Marvel film so far. It is visually stunning, but to me, it's less about that and more about the story and the characters that are happening. Mm-hmm. You get that moment at the end, which is great. We get a lot of characters. There's a lot of visual effects happening.
Yeah.
But there's a moment in Rise of Skywalker where, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen this fucking film, you've all seen it, so shut up, I'm going to spoil it for you, where Kylo Ren is going to meet with Palpatine for the first time. And he's walking through that crazy fucking eerie, like...
Yeah, temple thing.
Temple thing that's like, doesn't make any sense, but is so cool looking. And I'm like, that is art. That is beautiful. And there's so many of those nice little moments in Rise of Skywalker.
Is that visual effects or is that more the cinematography? I guess the visual effects are extremely...
Well, you're getting like lightning and stuff behind it and all that shit. Yeah. Star Wars is always a hard one to beat because they get the top of the cream of the crop to come and work on these things.
Well, with this, I really feel like Endgame, like Thanos looks so good. Smart Hulk looks so good.
Smart Hulk does look good. It's like, oh, he wants a picture with him. He wants you guys to take a picture
But like, think about that. That's all like a CG person. Like, yeah. That you know, I think with both those characters, they did something exceptionally awesome. Like, we've seen Thanos before. You know, in Infinity War, he also has cool monologues, and they focus on him a lot. And it very much looks like he's there. But I think that seeing Smart Hulk, his character we've known, that like, we only ever see a little glimpse of because he's always freaking out. I think that's where Endgame stands out for me. That being said, I think that, like, I could see Lion King getting it because Lion King's
not visual effects though. It's CG. It's like, to me, like,
but I mean, this that's is where we
have to make,
effects.
Yeah, but this is where we have to make like, the distinction. The same way, like, you can't call something a visual effect if the whole movie is computer generated.
But that's the exact same thing I'm saying right now about Thanos and Smart Hulk. They're both.
But those were CG. Those were visual effects that were. Yes, they are CG, but they were effects that were blended with live action. Mm. And to me, that's harder than hitting render on an entire CG scene. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a different level of artistry. Not to say that making a CG scene that's as beautiful as the ones in Lion King isn't difficult, but to me, that's like, I mean, the whole thing was CG.
Yeah.
You
so know? my
you filmed a fucking rock and then put a lion on top of it.
The only reason is Lion King, I don't think gets it, because I'm a little more on your side, Kev, is just like the way their mouths moved and like how that was synced up to like voices and shit, I thought was like not that great, because like I think they were almost there with like how good it really looked, but like in motion it felt really weird.
No.
The only reason why I think that it has a chance of not being Lion King is because Jungle Book got it, what, 2 years ago? Mm. And Jungle Book, like, how close are they, you know?
I think it should go to 1917.
Really?
Yes.
That's an interesting, that's like the last one I want to, the last movie on here.
When I think about how that movie blends, the visual effects in that are, first off, they're stunning.
Yeah.
Some of them are not great. There's some of the digital seams that they put in aren't the best. And as a person who has used After Effects, I'm like, that one could have used one more pass. But for the most part, they disappear into the world that Sam Mendes and Roger Deakins have created. And to me, that is the epitome of a visual effect. Mm-hmm. A visual effect should be just like an edit, where if done right, you don't notice it. And I mean, this, fuck Christ's sake, there's a moment where these two actors are standing in a barn and they look over and a fucking plane crashes into them. And it's seamless.
Yeah.
And it's insane. And whereas, you know, Star Wars and Endgame, of course, these are visually effects heavy movies. That's the whole point of it. But this one was really about being in the scene with these people. And the effects could have so easily taken you out of that. Mm-hmm. But instead, they served to sort of back that up and support it and make it something fucking that I haven't seen in a very, very long time, really, really since Saving Private Ryan. But I think this goes to Gary's point earlier, we were talking off camera, but this goes beyond it to me, because Saving Private Ryan had those moments where you feel like you're in with them, but then let you go for a second and let you be that. You have that with those moments where Tom Hanks is like, you know, intimate, but then you see the guys and they're just walking and we get a relief. You don't get a fucking relief in this. You have nonstop visual effects, crazy shit happening, and you're like, there's fire all this. He walks out at one point, everything's on fire. You're like, how do they do? What the fuck? And then he goes into the thing, and then he comes back out. Everything's on fire again. You're like, wow. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, I could see 1917 getting it. I want Endgame to actually get it, but I could see this going to 1917.
We're also splitting hairs because all of these movies were
beautiful. Well, not quite all of them.
Beautiful.
Not quite all of them.
I mean, what was
Irishman is the one.
Oh, the Irishman.
No, I don't think this should be on here.
The Irishman is just like, man, I don't know what fucking palm you greased with to get these nominations, Scorsese, but let a fellow Italian in on that, because I want an Oscar. I'll get an Oscar for KFA if that's how far we can fucking reach.
Or so are we making our official picks then?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
I'm saying 1917.
I'm saying Endgame.
I want it to be Endgame, but I think it's 1917.
Yeah, I also think it's going to be 1917.
Okay. All right.
Are we going to go over these on the stream on Sunday?
Yeah.
Should we keep? Are we keeping note of these? I'll keep it on.
Did we not print out the things that I found?
No. Did you send this to me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Here,
I was assuming that when the stream starts, we would do that on air, and we would all kind of talk about our nominations.
Yeah, let's write them down.
Okay.
I'm writing everything down.
Are you taking notes?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Then I don't have to on my napkin.
That's not my laptop.
It's really hard to write on these things.
The next one that I want to talk about is...
You got a laptop right in front of you.
Best original screenplay.
Okay.
Ooh, what are our choices here?
So first one is Knives Out by one Ryan Johnson.
Oh, man, I'm so...
Did you watch it?
Not yet. And it's coming man. It's coming to streaming services, I think, on the 7th,
mm-hmm.
which I think is Friday.
Yep. It's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yep.
So I have to like figure out how to do that. And if you want to watch it again and you want to let me watch it too, that'd be great.
I don't know what that means.
Voodoo?
Oh, you want me to get? Yeah, just let me tell me.
Do the voodoo thing.
Actually, you can just do it.
It's, oh, yeah, good point. Yeah. Okay.
I
want to watch that because everyone, including my wife, liked it. And she doesn't like anything.
It's fantastic. We'll talk about it in a second.
I feel like I'm the only one that didn't love Knives Out.
I'm with you, Joey.
You didn't
like
it.
I liked it.
I thought it was good. I wasn't blown away by it like everybody else was.
I want you to see The Gentleman and see how you feel about it.
I want to see it. Yeah.
The Gentleman's real good.
Yeah,
real
fuck.
Good.
Is that Monday?
No, that came out.
Oh, that came out this year.
December 25th. Okay. Right?
No, The Gentleman came out this year.
Oh, sorry.
Very early.
Cool. Knives Out came out December 25th.
No, Knives Out came out around Thanksgiving.
All right, never mind. Then I'm all off.
What came out on December
25th?
1917 is what came out on December 25th.
Okay. Little Women. The next movie, Marriage Story.
Okay, I slept watched it.
Oh, really?
That's the one I think wins.
It's the one I got to watch this weekend.
That's the one I think wins, and I think that's the only, probably the only award this movie wins.
Then we have 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite.
I've not watched Parasite yet.
Okay.
So don't spoil it for me.
No one's going to spoil it for you.
I got to watch this weekend.
I really want Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to win because I love that movie. And the story is just such a beautiful love story to Hollywood. I don't think that's going to win. I have a feeling that Parasite's going to win.
Really?
So listen, there's a part of me, the rational part of my brain, the non-silly Nick who can actually critically look at The Departed, that goes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood should not win against a lot of this deep competition this year. But then there's a part of me that just wishes it takes the whole thing because I love that movie so much.
It's such a fun
movie. And it's not – the thing about that movie is that it's not the best movie even Quentin Tarantino's ever made. But there's just something about it. I went back and watched it again on a plane and I was like, I'm instantly sucked into this 3-hour-long movie that nothing happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see that. I'm going to go for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mostly because I haven't seen the other two.
I feel like Marriage Story is a great movie, but it's the acting that's great, not so much the like
the storyline.
Yeah. Knives Out, I love. It's such a good movie, but I can't imagine it getting this sort of.
It's weird that it got nominated.
I'm glad that it did, because
it just doesn't seem like the kind of movie that was designed to be like.
It's only nomination.
It seems like a fun movie. Not to say that Academy Award winning movies can't be fun, but have you watched The Irishman? Zing.
Yeah, this is the only nomination that Knives Out has gotten.
I'm going with Once. How good is Parasite? See, I know literally nothing about Parasite.
I think I'm going with Parasite.
You're going to go Parasite?
Yeah, all right,
that's the best way to watch Parasite. And it's available on streaming services.
It is. I was going to watch it Wednesday.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime. I'll rent it on Prime. I was gonna watch it on date night. My wife and I have date night Wednesdays, but instead we watched The Outsider and Picard. And after those, I was like, "This is a lovely one-two, like entree and dessert."
That's definitely
not the
way to finish out the night with.
I was like, Outsiders. I have to look at my phone most of the time because
really?
That fucking show so tense.
I'm an episode behind right now.
So tense.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's all fine. Okay, yeah, I'll watch it this weekend then. I'm going to watch it on Saturday night.
Yeah, or get it on Vudu, though. Then
just head over to Stoatstown and watch it in that weird, shitty theater.
Oh, no, that theater sucks. I hate that theater so much.
Theater's like the most uncomfortable thing I've ever sat in my life.
So, yeah, guys, what are we...
I'm going Once Upon a Time.
I'm going Parasite.
Okay.
All right.
This is such a hard thing between like what I want to win and what I think is gonna.
Yeah,
win.
I think Parasite's gonna win, and like I want Knives Out to win. Because Once Upon a Time is great, but like that is another place where I think it could win
to me, I think this is where Marriage Story gets it, because I don't know if it's really going to get win anything else. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this might have been one of the ones where people are like, ah, it didn't really get anything else. Let's give it to it here.
Man, people are in love with Adam Driver, though. Who knows?
He's so good. Yeah. He's
real people, good. Hollywood loves him.
Here's the thing, though. It's
a tough one.
I think it's Joaquin Phoenix by a fucking silver bullet.
Okay, well, we'll wait till we get there. Next topic, best animated feature. I love always best animated feature.
What are the choices here?
The choices are How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Claws, Missing Link, Toy Story 4.
Really quick, I think that's supposed to be Klaus.
What's that?
It is Klaus. Yeah. You're right. Not Klaus.
Just pronunciation.
Klaus.
Yeah.
Klaus. I have not seen any of these other than Toy Story 4, so me by either. Default, oh, really? I will say Toy Story 4.
I'm also going to say Toy Story 4 for the same reason.
I've only seen two of these.
Though I've heard really, really good things about Klaus.
Yeah, I have too. And this is another Netflix movie. So that's really exciting.
Klaus? It like based on Santa Claus?
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah. There was that billboard right off of the freeway that was like wrapped up like a present. It was like, come back to see what it is. And we thought it was something really, really cool. And it was just like,
turns out it's just a new iPhone.
No, it's the
like, I already fucking have it, Apple.
I just didn't care.
Stop changing shit on your platform.
But I really, really love How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
And
it's a fun series.
I love how it ended. I'm surprised you didn't see the last one.
First one? I don't know that I ever saw the second one.
I thought you'd seen the first and second one.
Maybe I have.
Yeah.
I like them.
It's a beautiful ending to the
story,
trilogy.
Yeah,
does the dragon start training the humans?
Yes,
that'd be cool if they did. Mm. How to Train Your Human?
Yep, that's gonna be the sequel series.
So like, for me, if I'm giving it away to someone, it's actually Missing Link, because Laika does amazing stuff. They've like every movie they've made, they've been nominated for.
They won over Toy Story 4 at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, sure. Nobody cares about the Golden Globes.
I mean, those are pretty, like, I mean, that's a crazy thing for that to do. Yeah. So I feel like that's a precedent.
I've seen all of the movies that they've made except for Missing Link. I just hope someday they win an award. Laika?
Laika, okay.
Yeah, they're the ones that do the CG. They did the stop motion CG Kubo.
Is the stop motion strings?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's such a hard technique. It's such a cool way to make films.
Missing Link is.
Toy Story 4.
So good.
The first 5 minutes where there's the rain scene going on outside.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the water looks so crazy. Like it's so realistic and like it's such an intense thing.
That entire movie looks so good.
The entire movie looks so good. So I think my money's on Toy Story 4 getting it.
I'm going to
TS4. Across the board.
Across the board.
I'm gonna say Klaus.
Also, you know what I really appreciate about the Pixar people is that they do not pull punches. There's some shit in that is terrifying, and also stuff that just you're like, God, this is heart-wrenching. They make animated movies for the adults and the kids, which is nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
You okay there?
Yeah. A little water on my face.
It's fine.
That's what Laika does, too, though.
Water on the face?
No.
I was like,
in some of the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. To best cinematography.
Oh man.
The nominations are The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, it's a tough one. There's a lot of good nominations here.
I haven't seen The Lighthouse. Don't care to.
It is
insane.
Like the way it's shot is beautiful. The movie itself is fucking absurd. It is
old. Did you ever end up seeing it?
Yeah. I watched it.
Out of the movies that, can you name it one more time?
Yeah. The Irishman,
nope.
Joker,
yeah.
The Lighthouse, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I think it could go to easily Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917, or Joker. I thought Joker was, again, gorgeously shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give, just from the technical nature of it, I have to give it to 1917.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
just did such a cool thing with that movie.
It's such a good, seamless. I mean, there is one moment where it does feel like, okay, you clearly...
There's a few of them.
Yeah. But I feel like one stands out.
Is it when they cross the house?
No, it's the one where...
he's running across the...
Somebody gets knocked out.
That's obvious.
Yeah, I know, but it's like...
There was no way to go from day to night visually.
They could have had him knocked down and had the, like, just scenery change, like time travel fast, you know what I mean?
That's kind of what they did.
But cut to black, and it was one of those things where it's like, if you want to nitpick... Like, there could have been a way around it to make it feel a little bit more cohesive.
That's fair.
That being said, I also feel like 1917 is where it should go.
Yeah, I think there's no question.
I can't get over the fact of how much I liked it.
Yeah, 1917.
Like, yeah.
Did not go into it expecting to be that impressed by it on so many different levels.
I think they did a really, really smart thing by casting. I don't want to say no-name actors because I'm familiar with at least the kid that played Tomlin, but he was also in a movie called Blinded by the Light. He played the best friend. Great.
Oh,
really fun in that movie as well.
Yeah. Springsteen movie?
But yeah, the Springsteen movie. Another period piece, but this one set in the 80s, not the 1917s. Sure. But I think they did a great
job.
The 1917s, the teens. the 19-teens. But I thought they did a great job casting these two actors who are relatively like no-names, mm-hmm. in my opinion, mm-hmm. and just letting them be there is so good. And then peppering in really, really awesome British actors.
That was fun, yeah.
So cool.
Because
I
went in pretty blind, not knowing who really was in it.
I didn't either.
So it was fun little surprise.
So when I heard Mark Strong's voice, I was like, fuck yeah, doggy dog.
I love Mark Strong.
He's got the best voice in the business, by far.
So, Joester, what do you think?
1917. It's just really impressive.
It is.
Like, in all the way that the camera shots, it's fun. And the angles change, and ugh.
This is
and I didn't like, sorry, I didn't like the one shot, and I didn't really like Birdman, so, like, that wasn't a huge, like, pull for me to go see this movie either, so I feel like
Birdman is obviously the closest analog because they did the same thing. Birdman felt like the shots at times were at odds with the story they were trying to tell, and I think that was done purposely. I think that they were some of the stuff for me felt that style was holding back the narrative in Birdman. In this, it feels like it complements it very, very well.
I don't know if it holds back, but it was definitely more distracting to me than this.
That's kind of what I mean, right? Where you're like, you're aware of it, and you're aware of it a lot less in this movie. And I think they do a lot of really fun things with the blocking. There's a moment at the very beginning when they're getting their orders, and Colin Firth goes, "Boys, come around this way." And the camera changes from an over-the-shoulder shot of the two guys with Colin Firth in focus. And then as they walk around him, all they do is chuck the camera in a little bit and refocus and then pan down, and the guys are looking at the map. It's just simple shit like that that I'm like, they could have overcomplicated this shot if it had been done with normal coverage or just a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
But in that regard, it's literally just a quick dolly forward with a refocus and then a pan down and you're done. And it's like, it was so little shit like that throughout the entire movie really kind of made the cinematography blend into the surroundings.
Yeah.
Same with the visual effects, which just kind of goes away and you're just with these two guys. You feel like you're the third member of their team going through this horribly traumatic experience.
That's so interesting what you guys are saying, because I feel like the Birdman, them doing that as one long shot, was so good for the tone of like, hey, this is a production that needs to happen, and like, felt so real to like.
I agree with Joey
things.
Though, where it is distracting, but I think it's supposed to, like, I think you're supposed to.
It's supposed to give you that like panic nervousness
on
of
edge,
you know, where that in 1917, that's such a gimme, like where it's like you know that everything is nervous and panicked because like these people are trying to get across enemy lines and not die, but where that Birdman is, hey, this is a production that means a lot to this one dude, and you're following him the whole time.
I think
that's why I love Birdman because of that.
I'm not discrediting it, but for me, I think 1917, the reason I thought it worked was because I think the material lends itself well to like, hey, you're a handheld camera following two dudes.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've seen this before. It's a visual language that we all know and are familiar with because of how they generally shoot war movies like this in modern times. Saving Private Ryan being the first one where you're like, oh man, you're fucking in the foxhole with these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
With Birdman, I just remember there being like. And I could be totally misremembering this, but I remember there being like weird lingering shots where the camera would just kind of float to the next person. And I'm like, cut, move over to the next person.
Yeah.
And I just, it's to me, that was not the kind of tension that I wanted.
Yeah.
The tension should have just been within the performances, but I think the camera helped build that. And it was a little too much. I'm like, back the fuck off. I'm aware that there's a camera in this scene, and I don't like that at all, especially for a movie that's supposed to be about a stage play.
Right.
So being aware that there's a camera here kind of it breaks my brain a little bit. Whereas with 1917, it disappears, and you just feel like you're running alongside these dudes, and it's fucking insane at points. There's just moments where the shit they see, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah,
like,
it's so.
If I saw that, I would be changed forever.
Yeah. But they have to keep going. God.
So is that your pick then?
For cinematography?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Me too.
The second I walked out of the movie, I was like, take Roger Deakins' award from Skyfall away. Give him two for this one. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but I could also see this one easily going for Joker or The Lighthouse, because both of those were visually
beautiful. Joker could work as well. Joker, I thought,
really
was
cool
beautifully shot.
I just think this, that 1917 was cooler and like
Well, 1917, it's again, I'm not going to say he tried to do something new because we've seen this before. Yeah, yeah. But I think he was, it's ambitious and I think it worked. And yeah. I think some of the other things that really stand out to me was that the shots were haunting, but they were also beautiful and they were gorgeously lit. And like Deakins does this thing where like it's starting to become his signature to a degree, mm-hmm. where like he just uses a blast of color and then silhouettes for some of this stuff. So you remember in like Skyfall, there was that moment where it was just fire behind the people and shit was happening.
So cool.
And we get that again in this one.
Yeah,
and that exact same. There's a moment like that. There's a moment similar to that where in Blade Runner 2049 where like Ryan Gosling's walking and everything's just fucking orange.
It looks so cool.
Is that when
cool.
he's like on the beach or whatever?
Yeah, when he's in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, in front of all.
And you get that like crazy.
Mars.
Yeah, no.
He never goes to Mars.
You know, he's good Vegas.
He goes to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like it just looked like Mars.
It just kind of looked like Mars because it was a red planet.
God, but there's
like
so cool.
But like Deakins just has a really – he just has fun with some of this stuff. And he does stuff that you just wouldn't normally do because you run the risk of it coming off as like being a little too simplistic. Yeah. And that was a little bit
in
of my critique with some of the stuff.
In 1917, though, that shot was so cool because there's that moment of like, is this person an enemy? It's probably an enemy.
No.
But like – yeah, and it isn't until he starts running where you're like, oh, shit, yeah, run.
But, like, you know, I criticized Deakins' cinematography a little bit in Skyfall because I felt it dipped a little bit into a little too much of the simplistic. So when he mm-hmm. got the award for that, I was like, don't do me wrong.
He didn't get the award for that, by the way. He got it for Blade Runner. He didn't get the award for
Skyfall. Oh, he got nominated for Skyfall.
Probably.
Can you look up?
Yeah.
So he actually got it for Blade Runner?
Yes, he did.
Thank you for correcting me because mm-hmm. that movie was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I think movie is gorgeous.
The movie was a masterpiece pretty much on every level as far as I'm concerned.
What a good sequel.
Oh, that makes me happy, actually. I thought for some reason he'd gotten it for Skyfall. Good.
I'm confirming right now.
No, no, no. Please do. That's great because I don't want to misspeak.
While he does that, let's move on to Best Director. Oh, wait. No.
Blade Runner. Skyfall was a few years earlier. Can you look that up?
Yeah, I nominated.
He was nominated.
Oh, he's nominated for Skyfall. Okay.
Blade Runner was the first one he won. Jesus fuck.
Well, look at this. Let's look at
it's
his.
It's crazy
that
he didn't win for Shawshank
fucking
or
movies
Fart,
that he's done for a second. First off, starting in 1994, Shawshank Redemption, phenomenal.
Jesus
Fargo,
Christ.
Phenomenal. Kundun, phenomenal. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Not my favorite Coen Brothers movie, but good.
Yeah, it's fun.
The Man Who Wasn't There, not familiar with that. No Country for Old Men, I will never watch again.
God.
So good, though.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, couldn't get through it.
I never saw it.
But it was
so long.
Right?
2.5 hours only.
Not familiar. True Grit, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skyfall is what it is. But a lot of people like it, so I'll give you that. Prisoners. Oh, my God.
Which one's Prisoners?
Denis Villeneuve's first movie that I remember seeing. He's not his first movie, but it's the first movie that I remember seeing and going, who the fuck directed this?
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve is the same guy that did Sicario and Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And currently working on Dune, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That movie, if you want to watch a movie where your entire body will be tense the entire time.
It's
watch
Jake
that movie.
Gyllenhaal and Hugh
Jake
Jackman.
Gyllenhaal,
right?
Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman's kid gets kidnapped, and he thinks it's Paul Dano, so he kidnaps Paul Dano and tortures him for like 2 hours.
Oh my God!
He locks him in a fucking bathtub, walls it up because he's a contractor, and then it periodically just shoots him with like piping hot water.
Oh my God!
It's terrifying, but like it's to get his kids back.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. So he did that. It's the same level of tension that he brings to Sicario into like Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we're getting long.
No worries.
Anyway, sorry. Apologies for saying he won for Skyfall. Blade Runner 2049 was beautiful. He should have won for that.
Let's move on to Best Director. We've
just to make sure all across the board, 1917 for cinematography.
We are indeed.
Okay, cool.
Best Director is Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Sam Mendes for 1917, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Shout out to Greta Gerwig, who got snubbed on this one. But
for
Little Women.
That was a great movie.
So good.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck about
Little Women.
Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
I think it goes to Bong Joon-ho.
I want it to, and that's where I'm at.
I wanted to go to Quentin Tarantino so badly. Really? And I also want to put out, I don't know who directed Uncut Gems, but God.
Isn't it the Safdie brothers?
Yeah, the Safdie brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
we're not nominated, sadly.
Like, they didn't get any nominations. It got snubbed everywhere.
I think that should have gotten nominated for screenplay. But
I was also going to say the best screenplay there. There's a couple more that I'll bring up later. But
this is hard. I would give this to either Joker or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I feel like 1917 was great, and man, He did a good job directing that too. This is hard.
Yeah, this is a really hard
question
one.
Question for you, because Kevin and I were talking about this last night. Is this based on like something in Sam Mendes' family, 1917?
I have to imagine so, because at the end he thinks like his great-great-grandfather or someone with the last name Mendes.
Yeah.
So I assume that, I don't know if it's based on his story, but I think he was just dedicating the film to him because he fought in World War One.
Well, he was saying that he told the story of this.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, at the end it says like to this person for keeping the
stories alive.
Yeah, telling all the stories.
Or telling the stories.
Yeah. I don't know, but he was obviously inspired by someone in his family for this, which makes it that much more impactful. Yeah. I'm going to give this one, just because I fucking wanted to win, to Quentin Tarantino.
Me too.
I just want him to win again. I don't know why. Todd Phillips did a phenomenal job with Joker, so I wouldn't be sad if he got... Actually, I wouldn't be sad if anyone won except for Martin Scorsese.
So here's the thing.
I'm going to give it to Once Upon a Time, though.
I want Bong Joon-ho to win this. I think there's a very good chance they give it to Todd Phillips.
I think so too.
And I don't even really like, I think Joker is fine, but there's something in me that thinks that they give it to him. And I don't know. I can't tell you what that is.
The thing I'll argue for Once Upon a Time, Joker is a phenomenally deep film.
Yeah.
It's very well directed.
That's
infinite. I don't know.
Well, I thought it was. It's very well directed. I think the acting is phenomenal. You got a great cast. He put together a fucking phenomenal movie. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has this weird elevated feeling where you're like, you're making kind of a fable. You're making sort of this this sort of like fairy tale of what Hollywood would have been like in that era. And to be in that world and to go through all the detail that Quentin Tarantino did with like finding all those old cars and making sure all these streets in LA were actually redressed to look like they would have looked like at that time period. And then having that all work together so that you can just exist in this world with these actors. I just thought it's something I haven't seen in a very, very long time. I can't remember another movie that did that for me. I just thought it was really cool. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful movie.
It's a beautiful movie. It's such a fun and chill story. Like, I really hope he gets it.
I'll ask you this. I haven't seen Parasite yet. So yeah. I don't know. And don't spoil it for me. But yes or no question. Does Brad Pitt take his shirt off in Parasite?
He does not.
That gets Best Direction then?
Because he was like, Brad, take it off slower. Brad?
Okay.
Slower.
Brad, I think, Brad, can you just go get a tool belt, please?
Can you take off your shoes? I really need a good feet shot.
He loves feet, man.
He
does. Good for him.
The man's proud of his feet.
Good for him.
So, Kev, you're also on the Tarantino train?
I am indeed.
Okay, and Joey, where are you leaning?
She wants, just say Parasite.
Play the game. Play the game.
Don't be a fucking coward.
Just go for it.
But it's, what game are we playing? Is it the, what do I want to win?
No,
or am I trying to predict is going to win?
Merits the winner.
Yeah.
What do you think...
But also think
win.
About who's going to get.
What do you
the
think will win? Is what?
Yeah,
I'm going off the fact that what do you think? Given all the things, I guess I'm not. I'm totally full of
shit. If I'm going based on what I want to win, I'm going to give Parasite all of the awards.
Go Parasite then. You got to do the thing that either way, if you're right about something, be like, I fucking told you. Also, that's
okay,
what you said.
I'm going Parasite.
All right.
But here's the thing: I don't know. I don't think they're going to give Parasite Best Director and Best Picture, and I want it to win Best Picture.
Oh, I don't think it. I don't
if they did, that would be bold.
I can't wait to
be. Would be wild.
Can we look up what happened? Because I remember the only movie that sticks out that's a foreign film that had this much traction in the last, like, I want to say like 15, 20 years was the one with Chow Yun-fat and Michelle Yeoh, directed by Ang Lee.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
And I don't remember if that was nominated for Best Picture or Best Foreign
While
Film.
Barrett looks that up, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors.
Yes.
Our first sponsor is MeUndies. Love is in the air. Someone grab the Lysol. Just kidding. Even though this is a made-up holiday, it's still really cute. It's also the perfect time to show this special someone how much you care. And say those three words everyone wants to hear. Match my undies. MeUndies has the most adorable Valentine's Day prints to get all lovey-dovey this year. Don't worry if you don't have a boo. MeUndies also makes buddy bands so you can match with your pet, which is honestly more important than people. Roses are red, violets are blue. Your butt is cute, rhyming is dumb. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. To show how much they love MeUndies, MeUndies has not one but three new Valentine's Day prints this year. This is the perfect opportunity to show the special someone you're ready to take it to the next level with matching pairs. Match me so I know it's real is the motto this year. If you're matching your BFF or even your dog, it still counts. I love MeUndies.com. I wear the boxer briefs every day. I've got the little pineapple ones right now. And if I'm at home, I'm wearing my onesie. Also, someone told us that MeUndies has new loungewear. Rumor has it, it's loungewear you can wear out and about. Keep your eyes peeled for some cozy new additions. Really cool. Go check it out. Their website. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because we have 100% satisfaction guaranteed. I think I'm missing the code for that. The website. Baird, anyway, you can pull that up for me?
I can find it.
Okay, Joey's on it.
Keep talking. I can talk about how I'm also wearing my MeUndies, and it's one of my favorite times of the year.
Let me talk about the new product, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not in here. They weirdly just hinted at it. I had to go look for it because I was excited because I was like, it sounds like they're talking about joggers, and they are indeed talking about micromodal joggers and shorts. I'm very excited for this. Are we going to get a bunch of shorts for the basketball game that we're doing? It's very possible. So to get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guaranteed, go to MeUndies.com/morning. Should have known that. That's one we do all the time. Our next ad is HelloFresh. Get mouth-watering seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh makes cooking at home fun and easy and affordable. Gia loves putting together these meals, but refuses to have me and Nick over no matter how nicely we ask. All I want is to be invited over and share the family-size veggie burrito bowls with the blue corn tortilla chips and tomato salsa. Is that so much to ask for, Gia? Is it? Break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh. With HelloFresh's 22-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie vegetarian from my sweet little Paula Bear and family-friendly recipes every week. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and prepping so you can enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in just 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. The average trip to the grocery takes 41 minutes. That's over 35 hours a year if you go once a week. So be like Gia and Tim and enjoy saving time and eating great meals with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/morning10 and use code morning10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/morning10. Our last ad is Manscaped. Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawn Mower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents, which is so, so essential. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. We have talked about Manscaped for a while. I've shared with you my story of cutting my balls and how there was blood everywhere. We sat together and heard both Tim and Greg talk about their balls looking better than ever. The Lawnmower 3.0 is even better than any than previous mower. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. That's a long time. So you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest new features, the LED, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with code MORNING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code MORNING. As always, your balls will thank you.
Well, it's just you and I now.
Yeah, Nick, I guess gone. Nick, gone.
Probably in the bathroom. Sure.
I think he was the one who went outside. I'm not too sure, though.
All right, well, let's just keep going then.
Cool.
For the next topic, we have best supporting actor.
Actor.
For this, we've got Tom Hanks.
I hear the door.
Yeah, it was Greg.
No, okay, it's
wrong
Greg.
One.
He's in the bathroom for sure.
Okay.
But also, I don't know how many of these movies he's seen. In fact, I think he has
only seen
two of them.
Yep.
So Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, a movie I did not watch.
I also did not watch.
Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes as Pope Benedict the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Which you did watch.
And he was real, real good. Anthony Hopkins
is always good, though.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the thing. Keep giving him awards. Al Pacino in Irishman for Jimmy Hoffa. Which is like, he was fine. Yeah, I wouldn't say terrible. He was fine.
I'm sorry, you're right. He was actually, he was good. Joe Pesci was good.
Joe Pesci as Russell Bufalino.
Bufalino.
Yeah. I mean, he was fine. Joe Pesci's just too old.
I just feel like the Irishman should be taken off of this together. I think I've made that point clear. I will no longer talk about the Irishman.
And then the clear winner, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Is he the clear winner?
I think it's between him and Hanks.
I think it's between Hanks and Hopkins.
Okay, you're bringing up some great points.
Okay,
I didn't watch Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but like
I don't
from
have
what I saw,
huge a touchstone to Mr. Rogers that like wasn't a thing, a
just
huge thing for me growing
Brad
up.
The reason I podcast to this day
is it
no.
I just enjoyed Brad Pitt so much.
Totally.
I'm gonna say this.
I think Brad Pitt has the most enjoyable role.
I
don't know that he's gonna win.
I want him to win so badly. I do think like if. Out of the movies that I've seen here, I feel like Anthony Hopkins did the best job just disappearing into this role where he like looks so close to the dude and acts like an old senile man.
Great.
Making an incredibly difficult decision. That's where I'm giving it to. Anthony Hopkins.
I'm going Brad Pitt
on this.
That's
a good call.
Mostly because I haven't seen The Two Popes.
I'm also going Anthony Hopkins.
All right. Hold on. So Brad Pitt for Nick. And then Joey for Anthony Hopkins.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a great part in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where he's talking to Bruce Lee, and he goes, "I can't fight you because if we get in a fight and I kill you, I go to jail for manslaughter." And he goes, "Anyone?
No.
What did he say?
I go to jail. My hands are registered as lethal weapons."
And he goes, "Anyone gets in a fight, kill someone else, goes to jail.
It's called manslaughter. Yeah, such a good line. That's the reason why I couldn't play in China.
Yep, fair.
I mean, that scene.
They could have just taken that scene out.
No, they could have, but, you know.
But God bless.
And then there's also the other scene where he takes off his shirt.
Sure.
With a tool belt.
It's true.
And in that tool belt, a beer.
Yeah.
I thought that was
pull tab beer.
Yeah.
Takes off his shirt.
Outlawed those kids kept choking on him.
That scene.
An Academy Award?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Now, another one that I'm super excited to talk about, Best Supporting Actress. Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell's, a movie that unfortunately I haven't watched.
Yeah. I know.
Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Ugh, you know what I mean, guys?
She was really good.
She was
barely
trying.
What about the Holder Maneuver? We can't do that shit.
The wrong movie, Nick.
If you talk about this again.
Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit.
She was amazing.
So
Florence
but I think
Pugh for Little Women.
Pugh.
Yeah, Pugh.
Pugh.
Right? That's what Nick taught me.
Pugh.
Margot Robbie for Bombshell. Now, I also didn't watch Bombshell.
I didn't either. We tried really hard.
We tried really hard. It didn't work out.
Man, I want Florence to win this so bad.
But you know that ScarJo deserves it.
I know.
Jojo Rabbit.
So here's the thing. Florence in Little Women is the only iteration of Amy in any of the Little Women like films and stuff like that that's ever been likable or understandable or relatable. Because she's always the youngest brat. And the way that she played this role and gave some context to the reasoning that Amy does the things that she does is like that's the only time I've ever cared about that character or liked that character.
But ScarJo.
But Scarlett Johansson is so good in JoJo.
So good.
I haven't seen any of these movies. I'm giving it to ScarJo.
Okay, cool. Thank you for not giving it to Laura Dern, despite me.
I think.
And can we all agree that
Laura Dern
sucks?
So good,
no, she was
though,
really good.
She is the bottom.
One.
She is the bottom, and I haven't even seen Kathy Bates in that one movie. But I know that Kathy Bates, an Oscar-winning actress,
But you, the reason that you hate her is because she's so good at her role.
No, there's way more reasons that I hate her.
I'm just saying.
Why do you hate her?
I mean, Holdo. Just Nick, do I need to say more?
But she's not nominated for fucking Star Wars.
It is the alpha and the omega of reasons to hate Laura Dern.
She's not nominated for Star Wars.
All I'm saying is Laura Dern sucks. Scarlett Johansson is
better. You just hate that character, and you know what? That's not her fucking fault that you hate that character.
I'm saying I don't hate that character. I think that character played the role
right. No, I'm talking about Holdo.
I'm talking about Laura Dern.
Okay.
I hate her.
Okay.
God darn it.
So
we're all
ScarJo.
Everyone's in ScarJo.
My heart really wants Florence Pugh to win because she was incredible.
She'll get her comeuppance.
I know.
She's really, really getting popular right now.
I hate how much I like Scarlett Johansson in this movie, if I'm being totally honest.
Speaking of Scarlett Johansson, let's talk about Best Actress.
She nominated again.
She's nominated again for Marriage Story. And fuck me, if she doesn't win it, she was so good in that. Let me go through the nominations. We have Renee Zellweger as Judy.
Ooh, I've also heard really good things.
She was really good. That movie was just very, like, not great.
Yeah.
It was very whatever.
I feel like it's... did you ever see the... JFK movie with...
No.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Jackie O. Yeah.
Jackie.
That's what it was called.
With Natalie Portman?
Yeah,
it's fucking really. She was good in that.
So we have
like the same thing where like the movie's not that great, but their performance.
I'm gonna keep going down this list really quick, guys. Okay. Cynthia Erivo.
I love her
in Harriet. I
never saw
Harriet,
the movie, but I love her.
Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan in Little Women. How do you say it?
Saoirse.
Okay, I'm never gonna learn that. Charlize Theron in Bombshell. And then Renee Zellweger and Judy.
I will say, shockingly, I haven't seen any of these movies either. Oh. But I'm going to give it to Cynthia Erivo because she's in The Outsider and she's fucking awesome
in
that
really show.
She's
really
good. She's so good.
She's
so
really good.
She should win an Academy Award for being
in
that fucking
show. She's
also
in whatchamacallit, the movie that I hated that you liked.
Widows?
No.
She's in that as well.
The
Hustlers.
No, the one with Dakota Johnson and they're at the hotel with the hot Hemsworth brother.
Oh, I actually watched that movie. It was pretty good.
The Hot Hemsworth Brother?
Bad Times in El Royale.
Yeah. She's a singer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that movie.
Yeah. I also really like that movie.
I understand
more
why you
about
like
that
it.
At some other point.
She was the best part.
So
of that
for
movie.
Me, this, it's between Scarlett Johansson and Cersei.
I have to. There's no way that Saoirse Ronan is on this list and I don't pick her.
Yeah.
Because
I think
she
it
was
goes to
so.
Her.
This is one of those ones where it's like kind of hard. Where like she was so good in Lady Bird, like she.
Yeah, but that Lady Bird was so 2016.
I'm so bummed.
Nick. No, whatever. I guess the amount.
I have no idea.
I'm really bummed that I haven't seen Bombshell because Charlize Theron does not look like Charlize Theron.
That's wild.
And it's wild
how much she looks like Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. Huh?
I can't watch that movie. It's gonna give me too much fucking anxiety.
Yeah.
Fox News is insane.
So what are we thinking? Where are our votes?
I'm going Saoirse.
Same.
I'm going to go Cynthia Erivo just for shits and giggles.
All right. Well, I'm going ScarJo.
All right.
I hate that I liked Scarlett Johansson in so many things.
She was.
Why do you hate Scarlett Johansson?
She was phenomenal.
You understand she is the backbone of the entire MCU right now? She's in every MCU
movie.
She
could play any role she wants.
She's the John Ratzenberger of fucking MCU.
Let's go best actor.
I just slaughtered that man's last name.
Hold it together, guys.
Okay.
We have Antonio Banderas.
Which one is this? Sorry.
Pain and Glory.
No idea what that
I have no
is.
Idea what this is.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
for
can
you
pull it up just so I can look at a poster? We have Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's Rick Dalton.
Yep.
That's a good movie.
Leo.
Adam Driver from Marriage Story.
Fuck
God.
That tall bastard.
God, it was so good. He was so good.
So
Joaquin
good.
Phoenix for Joker. And then Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. He played Pope Francis.
I think it should 100% go to Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Having said that, if it were up to me, if they said, Nick, you have the best taste in movies that we've ever known, you give the awards out this year, fuck Price Waterhouse or whatever the hell that bullshit is, I give it to Leo. I loved him.
I loved him in it.
Lovably, annoyingly stupid and lovable in that movie.
But he's been playing that character for so many years.
He's perfected
years.
It.
Right?
Yeah, he's perfected it.
But that's also the character that Quentin Tarantino wants. Like, he plays that character in Quentin
Tarantino.
I just
don't think it just... out of the rest of these, I can't speak to Antonio Banderas, but, like, out of the rest of these, I just don't think his performance stands out as much just because he always plays that role.
Yeah.
For me... Great.
I think he is the odd one
with,
out for sure
with Joker on this, like, I feel like Joaquin Phoenix did a great job, but I do think that we also got a little bit of that little Phoenix overacting that he likes to do.
Oh, the Phoenix overacting.
Yeah. He just goes reborn. So far, and I get that that's what the role was too, but it always just like there's moments. Where
I can
it,
understand
like,
that. There's moments where he's like where he's just saying things, some things that I wish they would have pulled him back a little bit, because I feel like there's it's so hard to play that level of psychotic without it coming off like you are, like without you seeing the actor behind it. And I'll agree.
And
that is one of the reasons why I would say like that I just again. I don't think Once Upon a Time should necessarily win anything, but I want it to win everything because I just found it. Because being with Leo and Brad, and you just feel like there are moments where he's just that character is so insecure and so vulnerable through so much of that movie. I just felt like it really worked, and I thought that was a great. I feel like Leo is this like he just comes off as this confident person in real life, but you know that a lot of that shit is internal where he's like he must have drawn from like his past experiences trying to stay as a Hollywood A-lister for that long. I just thought it was great.
We should also recognize that Adam Sandler should have been nominated.
That's literally, what I was just going to say, Barrett.
Listen. If this wasn't a goddamn joke, Adam Sandler would for sure take this.
Oh my God.
For sure.
Listen, I'm going to say this right now, okay? Uncut Gems is the Allison Janney of fucking movies, okay? You put her in anything, she's going to fucking win. The reason they kept Uncut Gems out of this. Because it would have blown past the competition in pretty much every single way. Adam Sandler got robbed. Okay. He should boycott the Academy Awards from now on.
Well, do you know what he's doing?
Come to our podcast.
Do you know what he's doing?
What's that?
He said if he wasn't nominated for this, he was going to make very bad movies on purpose.
Good.
Great. So that's what
he not been already doing that?
No,
not on purpose, but now they're going to be on purpose. No.
Good. Also, I want to shout out Lulu Wang should have been nominated for Best Director for The Farewell, in my opinion.
Ooh. That's
a very solid point.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. This is another thing of,
that's
I think
a really solid point.
Joaquin Phoenix is going to get it, but I want it to be Adam Driver.
So what are you putting?
Phoenix? I want it to be Adam Driver, and I'm actually putting Adam Driver because like that's
I think
the
I might too. I don't
on the list.
See. I don't. I didn't. Don't be I feel a like I just have to stay true to like I didn't love the Joker.
So. I know I didn't love the Joker, but like I have solid problems with the acting of it.
Yeah, and that's probably why you didn't love the Joker.
Well,
you also didn't like the storyline.
Barrett, I'm also going.
Sounds like there's a lot I didn't like in Driver.
I loved him, man, and the fact that like his character's not great.
No,
but you still love him.
Yeah,
I want Driver to win. I think Phoenix takes it.
That's true. It's just it's his
own fact.
His role seems so sincere. And there are moments where both Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver are, like, breaking down in front of each other. And it's like, man, you know that Laura Dern is sitting there just being like, I'm never going to be this good.
Yeah. Or you just stick to doing horrible side characters and visually stunning films.
She was also great in Little Women.
Have you seen her in Jurassic Park? Was there a fucking dinosaur
in
Little Women?
Was she great in Little Women? All right, guys, I'm going to go to these people that are sick and get my daughter sick.
That's not what happens, little one.
It's 100% what happens.
I haven't seen Little
Oh, the little girl. Sorry, I thought you meant the
one that dies.
Someone dies?
Wow, spoilers.
I don't know. I guess I don't have to watch this movie now.
What was I going to say?
Sorry, guys.
I got distracted because
then
Nick started talking
about
dinosaurs.
Laura Dern and stuff. That's my bad.
How many people do you think had their like sexual awakening because of Laura Dern in Jurassic
with those shorts?
Park? Yeah.
It was
at least one that I know of.
You guys, anyone having a sexual awakening in Jurassic Park was not Laura Dern. Like based,
who would it have been? Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Nick, what's your pick here?
Why can't it be both? I'll pick Leo for best actor.
All right.
I don't think he's gonna get it, but I just love Leo. I just want that. I just can't wait for the moment where they cut to him. He's got the great hair, and for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Leonardo DiCaprio, and everyone claps, and he does that cute thing he does. You know where he smiles.
He's nominated.
The cute thing
nominated
he does where he
time.
Smiles
so many times. I can't believe he got it for Revenant.
I can't.
I know.
Fuck, man.
He deserved it for
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street.
No, for
Titanic.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Titanic.
Wolf
no.
of Wall Street.
Titanic.
Stop fucking interrupting me, please.
Basketball Stories.
Hold on, okay,
God.
Sorry.
Barrett, what is the movie
that you're I fucking forget it.
Just
now.
Look up his filmography.
You're talking like Blood Diamond?
No.
He was good in Blood Diamond.
It was before Wolf of Wall Street.
But just look it up.
The one with the Gatsby one.
No, absolutely not that one.
Catch Me If You Can.
Ooh,
great movie.
Definitely Catch Me If You Can.
Man, see, he's due.
He already got one.
Give him
2 years ago.
Give it to Roger Deakins. Give him another
he
one.
He deserved it for Django Unchained, is what I was
going to say. Oh.
I never saw that.
I wasn't the lead in that, though.
He
everyone knows
that
if you don't get best actor, he doesn't count.
It's true.
Best supporting actor anyone got. I could be a fucking 5 minutes movie gotten that best award, supporting though. Actor.
I actually 100% agree with you.
Best supporting actor.
That's his best performance in anything.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Somebody put Nick in their movie for 5 minutes so he can get nominated for best supporting actor.
If you think you have a movie that's gonna get an Academy Award, let me be the guy that like sells the main character's drugs or something cool, and everyone's like, he stole the show. I want to be the Jason Matsukas of like of whatever your movie is.
Or contact me and I'll get you Cool Greg, and you will win an Oscar.
Cool Greg is too
real. For
that
same role. You know what I mean?
Too real.
Now, our last category, Best Picture.
Best Picture.
Best this is so stressful. Picture. This is a hell of a goddamn year. What do we have? Ford versus Ferrari. Jojo Rabbit.
I accidentally fell asleep in last night.
Mm-hmm. How did you fall asleep?
I was so loud.
I was so loud.
I was so tired.
Let me get through this list, boys.
I've been up since like 5:30 yesterday.
So, Little Women.
And I thought I was going to be able to take a nap during 1917.
I hate him so much.
Let him speak.
Yeah, let's get through this list. Little Women, 1917, Parasite, The Irishman, Joker, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So, movies that I think that can get knocked off immediately, Ford versus Ferrari.
That's the one I think wins.
I enjoyed it. Huh?
I think it wins.
You think it wins?
No.
I don't think it's going to win.
No way.
Do you remember what won last year? Green Book.
Yeah.
Green Book.
Yeah, but like...
There was a lot of other exciting nominees last year. I think this is going to be another one where like...
Year? I was all pissed about it.
I forget.
Uncut Gems should have been in here. It should have won. I'm saying that right now. That is the most suspenseful movie I've ever seen. I loved it.
It was a great movie.
I don't want to ever watch it again, but I definitely think
shout
that,
out
like,
to Idina Menzel too in that movie. Did she play his wife?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. She was good in that.
Yeah, she was really good in that movie. Fuck no man. Singing at all from her.
Did I thought can we get, just get a little Let It Go?
Yeah, just let it go. One note.
Or at least like when she's like, where she'd be like, Adam, Let It Go.
Mm.
I'm just saying, I think this is going to be another year where it's going to be a weird split vote thing, and like some random fucking weird movie wins, and I think it's going to be Ford versus Ferrari.
No.
I wouldn't be like horribly disappointed if Ford versus Ferrari won. I just didn't think it was that great.
Yeah,
it's not nominated for like any other major category.
I think the movie itself is beautifully made. I just don't know that it was. I'm sure it had some like sound design.
It's four nominations. Yeah, I think sound design is one, and like that's one where it might be able to win it.
But like I think it was a well put together movie. I just didn't think it was as good as the other.
I think
I still give this to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Let me knock off a couple other movies. Here. Like The Irishman, should not be here.
If the Irishman has a good chance of winning, by the way, because of the politics, and this is going to make me fucking hate the Academy. I will boycott the Academy Awards for the rest of my life if this wins. That's not true.
I also think that Marriage Story, while a fantastic movie, I just don't think that it's. I don't know that. I don't know. Like, I think
you got divorced. Move the fuck on.
I mean, honestly, that's what it is. Like, Kramer versus Kramer did it better. Let's move on.
Come on. Dustin Hoffman fucking.
And it won the Oscar that year.
We don't need it again.
Thank you.
Ford versus Ferrari. I've seen people fucking in cars.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I've seen people in cars.
Yeah.
Done.
Mary,
you ever seen Fast and Furious? That's just Ford versus Ferrari on fucking steroids.
Now,
man, I'm not sure they're watching Fast and Furious.
Personally, I don't think Joker should be on this list either, just because. I have major flaws with like story, acting, cinematography is beautiful.
I think if Joker won, I would not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But having said that,
if Joker won, I would be disappointed.
I want Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to win.
I do too. I don't think it will.
I just want it to win.
I know. That movie.
Here's why.
That movie makes me feel so good. And it's so long. And I'm so in to just sit down and watch it whenever. Like,
you know, the reason I like that
when
movie...
When it hits HBO, I'm going to watch it again.
I'm going to watch it again as well. And the reason I like it is because it's such a rarity that you can make a movie that's that expensive that actually does well that isn't about comic book stuff. And I'm not saying that like the mainstream media does when they go, oh, comic book movies. And I say, fuck you people, because comic book movies are amazing and can be elevated as well. Watch Endgame. Fuck you. But what I like is that Quentin Tarantino... And to a degree, like Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt are like the last of this amazing era of like movie stars and big time movie directors that can just open a movie based off of their talents alone without having to necessarily have there be another thing like a franchise or a gimmick involved in it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I just don't think we're going to see films like that forever. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's special to me. And I think it should win. Done it won.
I really want Little Women or Parasite to win, but I think they're going to give it to 1917.
Don't be a coward.
I think they're going to give it to 1917 too, but I'm going to put Jojo Rabbit on this one. It's one of the best movies I've seen.
I gotta watch it.
And again, Uncut Gems, fucking robbed. Robbed. Like, Uncut Gems robbed. Should definitely be number one on with a bullet, but it's not. That being said, Jojo Rabbit.
I wouldn't be mad if The Farewell was on this list.
Yeah. The Farewell I think should have been on this list. Could be on this list easily.
And did Awkwafina not get nominated?
For nothing.
That's bullshit.
She got Golden Globe nominated, I think.
Yeah,
she
but did. Again, Golden Globes suck. Nobody cares about them.
The Golden Globes are basically like Siren the Taco Bell of awards. And you're like, everyone loves them, but they're just not good for you. You know? That's terrible.
Yeah, that was
That's
not
it.
Your
We're
best
done.
One.
We're done.
Okay.
All right. That's the Oscars this year. Join
did
us.
You pick?
Do you? Do you?
Oh, I think
Joey. Sorry, Joey.
Don't be a coward. Pick Parasite. Big Parasite.
Pick Parasite. Coward.
Parasite.
Okay, I'm picking Big Parasite.
All right. Do you want me to run through you guys, your guys' picks again? Just really
no,
quick.
No, I picked Parasite for like every award possible.
I wrote all mine down on this napkin, so right, I'll remember. I'll keep
that. There's definitely no way Nick's losing that.
I got everybody here.
So. Almost blew my nose. Barrett, do you have picks?
Yeah.
What's your pick for
this
one?
What are your picks?
I mean. Visual effects, 1917. Yep. Original screenplay, A Marriage Story. Animated feature, Klaus. Cinematography, 1917. Even though I haven't seen it, there's no a lot of the production that goes into that.
You would agree.
Yeah. best director, Bong Joon-ho. Best supporting actor, Tom Hanks. Best supporting actress, ScarJo. Best actor, Joaquin Phoenix. Best actress, how do you say her name?
Which Joe? One?
Sarsay.
Sarsay.
Ronan. And then best picture, Ford versus Ferrari.
All interesting. Right. Ford versus Ferrari, huh?
I think it's going to be a weird, like...
Are you saying that because you want it to be? Or you
no,
you think
I haven't even seen the
movie.
Like, I think it's going to be another year like Green Book where it's like votes are going to get split and then this random weird movie that no one really talked about, because no one really talked about Green Book even when it got nominated, is going to win. And I think
fucking,
that's...
We're over here playing checkers. You're playing chess over there, bro.
I know. You're like I'm Bobby in it for Fisher the fucking points, Nick. The fucking point.
If you want to join us while we watch the Oscars, you can come to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Yeah.
What time are we starting?
Is it
4:30? 4:30? Okay.
How long do we want to watch Greg sweat out there on the red carpet?
As long as possible. Damn it, why did I break down the camera? I broke it down literally today.
It's okay.
God damn it.
So for those of you who don't know about this, we will be streaming. We're doing a live watch-along for the Academy Awards. We're going to start about 30 minutes early so that we can interview anyone that's coming in attendance live from the red carpet. That's going to be hosted by Greg Miller. And then Kevin, Joey, and myself will be hosting the actual watch-along. We're going to be playing bingo. If you guys want to play bingo out there with us, Joey will tell you where to get the boards. I don't know if we can do that or not. Yeah. I don't know if that's legal. And then, of course,
I got them legally.
I mean, do we get anything legally at this company?
No.
I'm not even a citizen of the United States of America. I don't even know if I'm allowed to own a company. And then, of course, I assume we're going over our Oscar picks. Are we scoring these to see who wins the ultimate trophy?
Sure.
Yeah. I say we score on 1 point apiece, see what happens. And then I think we've got some drinking games as well planned, depending on every time. My thing is, the one thing I want on the drinking games is every time they cut to Meryl Streep, someone has to take a shot. And that person has to be Barrett. It's got to be Barrett. Yes. Yes, Barrett. Let's get him loose, everyone.
And now to tell you guys what is out on streaming platforms this week, we've got Lock and Key coming out on Friday.
Ooh.
I am so excited. I hope that it's just okay. That's all I want it to be. It's on Netflix.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. And then Amazon Prime, we've got Honey Boy.
Watch that
Ooh.
Movie.
Shit. Yes.
That's one of my top three movies this year.
I'll watch it.
That's all right. Really good.
It's
hard to watch, but it's good.
I don't know. I feel like they didn't do a good job building a story.
I like when the guy goes,
"What?
Whoa, 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 whoa!" It's great.
Oh, for the trailer, then they pull him back. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. And then on Hulu, Cabin in the Woods.
Also, excellent.
Great fucking movie. Yeah.
Excellent. You want to see Baby Chris Hemsworth? You do.
So jacked.
Out in movie theaters near you this week, we have Birds of Prey and The Lodge. I really wanted to watch The Lodge.
Which is The Lodge?
The Lodge is the one where like this. Girlfriend or this guy and his two kids go to a lodge and he brings
and
his
the dad
girlfriend
leaves.
And the dad has to leave.
I want to see that.
And
oh,
there's
yeah,
this
it looks
weird
freaky.
Like cult tones of like
and it's all like
you
weirdly
guys love
monochromatic.
Shit
like
this. Yeah. You guys love that.
I don't like horror
vibe.
Movies. I only go because Bella, but now I guess I'm feeling it
you
a little
like
bit.
It.
You know what I mean?
You
it's
like
growing
it.
On me. And then really quick, Birds of Prey is
don't save it. Because we're doing Birds of Prey in review tomorrow after Kind of Funny Games Daily. Make sure you tune in here live. If not, it'll be on youtube.com/kindoffunny. But I cannot fucking wait to talk about this movie.
Mm-hmm. God.
And it gives me such happiness.
Well, let's stop talking about it.
To be able to talk about this movie.
And last week I asked for the bronze topic to be, how are you guys liking the new format? We focus on one topic for the whole show. Many of you wrote in. Next week, I want you... Actually, let me read El Jong's because I have an immediate response to his. In response to last week's question, I dig the more focused conversation week on week. And maybe can we get next week's topic in YouTube podcast description since we don't have time codes?
We do have time codes.
You're right. Yeah. And next week's topic is Sonic. We're going to go watch Sonic. No one at this table is going to... Well, I am, but you guys aren't.
No, I am.
We're going to have one Gary Wooda, Tim Geddes, and Blessing. We're all going to watch Sonic and talk about how we felt about it. And I'm very excited. Very, very excited. So next week's bronze topic is... Are you excited for Sonic? All right, the show is on Thursday, but just tell me whether you're excited about it. What are your touchstones to it? What's Jim Carrey been up to? You know? Let me know.
Tell, what's your temperature in degrees? Are you 98 degrees in this thing? Are you 104? Or are you dead?
Short messages. Don't make them really long, or else I'll have to
Twitter.
Make them at least three paragraphs long.
Let's see. That Matt Bowers says, digging the format. Everyone is very positive. Thank you guys so much. People seem to like this format, and I'm enjoying it too. Digging the format of having a single topic to discuss with new episodes. Also, I don't think it was on the list you guys looked at, but there's a new Wes Anderson movie. Yeah, it wasn't announced at the time that we did that. The new Wes Anderson movie that's coming out this year. It's called French Dispatch, and I'm very excited for it. I'm so in. Surf 31 says, on the show's new format, while I think dropping the news and trailer talk is fun, I do wish you guys kept what we've been watching as a weekly segment, as your informed opinions help me decide what shows and films are actually worth watching and which I can skip. I also like that section a lot.
Maybe we'll just do that monthly.
That segment takes 45
minutes. That's what I'm
minutes.
Thinking. Actually, doing that monthly, yeah.
Why not?
Let's discuss that more.
Because the thing is this. You're just going to hear me talk about the fucking Monty Python documentary I've been watching for like the last week because it takes me a week to watch it anyway. So
yeah.
If we do it monthly, at least we'll have a new crop of stuff that people can catch up with.
That might be fun. We can only talk about The Circle for so long, you know?
Yeah. Fuck, stop talking about The Circle.
Matt Edwards says, I love the new format of the show. Really enjoying the discussions and dedicated topics. I personally think you should still make time in the episodes for the news section. I always enjoyed hearing the thoughts of the latest. Plus, sometimes I found out things I didn't know about before this episode or the episodes. I love the news, but I think that what we want to do is, like, what I'd like to do is, like, if there's a giant breaking news, make that the whole topic. Because otherwise, we just can't dedicate too much. Like, even now, the show is an hour and a half long because we love talking about movies.
We do.
It's my fault for TV talking about Leonardo DiCaprio so much. Services. I apologize. And Brad Pitt.
There was a lot of Joker talk at the beginning, too.
So good.
But yeah, thank you guys all for writing in. Lots of people wrote in. Everyone was positive. Not one person was like, oh, no, change it back. So
dope.
I think maybe we'll stick with this. Next week is Sonic's review discussion.
Gotta go fast.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it's going to be great.
You guys get Gary Wooda back. You guys love that.
And then, yeah, join us Sunday for the stream around 4:30. That's what we're thinking.
Yeah, I think 4:30 will go.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It'd be fine.
All right, all right. You can follow Nick at Nick_Scarpino. You can follow Joey at Joey Noel. You can follow me at Kind of Funny Kevin. Go to the movies and watch maybe Birds of Prey. Maybe. I don't know.
Definitely watch Birds of Prey.
Yeah. There it is.